Today is the very auspicious day of Gopastami. So there will be some festivities. There are different pastimes which occurred on this day when Lord Krishna was here 5,000 years ago. Particularly there are two main pastimes that we're aware of. We will read a little bit and talk about those. And otherwise, it's a very wonderful, very auspicious day, so please absorb yourselves in the transcendental mood of the occasion. Gopastami is the Ashtami, the eighth day of the waxing moon, increasing moon. It's coming up to full moon. It is the Ashtami. So that means one thing is that means there's about another week or about another week of Karti left. So that's also something to think about. That during Karti it is recommended that one adopt some special Krishna conscious activities for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Srimati Radharani. One try to increase one's devotional activities, chanting more or reading more or doing more service or preaching more, whatever it may be. But basically the idea is that we should try and do more as a special offering, on one hand to increase the benefit we may get, on the other hand just to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead more. Srila Prabhupada made the point that Kartik means that just like a shop owner is selling so many products every day, and different things are there every day, and every day they are selling those same things and selling at the same prices. But then occasionally the shop owner decides to have a sale, and then you can go and get the same things but for less. Perhaps even much less. So, similarly in Karti, Krishna is giving mercy, the same mercy that he is giving all the time. Krishna is giving mercy, but in Karti, Srila Prabhupada said, Karti means Krishna is having a sale. That same mercy which is available any time. But in Karti, it is available for less. You make less effort, but you get the same mercy. Just as in the shop, you pay less, but you get the same product when there's a sale. And so this is the idea in Karti, there's only a week or less even left. Or perhaps it's a week. What's the last day? Saturday. Saturday, right. So, exactly a week is left. Please make the most of it. And today is the Gopastami, important day, and certain very wonderful pastimes happened, so we should try and remember them and really make the most of today. It is the last Sunday, after all, so you're all free, I imagine. So, make the most of it, chant more, read more, do more service, and really try and absorb yourselves in remembering these pastimes which we will read and discuss about. Now, the first pastime is the one which took place when Krishna was small. Krishna had just turned 3. Krishna's birthday, of course, is Janmashtami, which is in September this year. So that means 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago, or thereabouts, was Lord Krishna's birthday. So Krishna had just turned 3 on this particular Gopastami we are referring to. And Krishna had been observing his father, Nanda Maharaj, taking the cows out and seeing what a joyful activity it was, what a joyful scene it was, when Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men went out every day. They were very happy to take out the cows. The cows were very happy to be taken out. They're looking forward to it so much. So it was a very joyful, jolly scene every morning when Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men would take the cows out. And then they would come back in the late afternoon, or very early evening, just around sunset. They would come back, and everyone would be so happy. All the cowherd men, all the cows, would be so happy having spent the day out there in the fields and associating together in Krishna consciousness. And of course, they are all so happy that they are coming back to see Krishna. So it was just a wonderful scene, and Lord Krishna had been observing this, and he wanted also to get into the fun. So he approached, he approached Nanda Maharaj and Manisha, "Please, let me take the cows out." Nanda Maharaj thought it was a good idea because he knew this is our family tradition, this is our family activity. So the fact that Krishna, at such a young age, is already inspired to participate, this is very good. That he wants to embrace the family tradition and the natural occupational activity of the family. So Nanda Maharaj was very enthusiastic, actually. Although Mother Yashoda, she was not so happy. Mother Yashoda, up until that time, 3 years and a couple of months, Lord Krishna had been with her 24 hours a day. So she just had his association the whole time, practically without interruption. And as a result, Mother Yashoda, the idea that I will now lose Krishna's association for so many hours every day. So she was naturally thinking, how will I live without Krishna? What will I do? How will I be able to remain alive without the association of Krishna? And there are some other peripheral considerations, like he's going to be out there alone. Who's going to look after him if he gets into trouble? He's only 3 years old. If some demon comes, because of course that had been the regular program, even when Krishna was just a little infant, from the time of some few weeks old, the first demon was Putana. And then every day there were demons coming. And somehow those demons were dying. The cowherd boys were saying, "It's Krishna." But no one would believe them. None of the adults could believe that. Krishna, he's just a little boy. How could he kill Putana, Trinavarta, these terrible demons, Shakatasura? How could a little child do that? So even though the counting voice was quite insistent, every time, it was Krishna. We saw it with our own eyes. But the parents, Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, and all the adults, they could not really accept that. So Mother Yashoda, it was a concern. The main concern was, how will I live without Krishna for a few hours? Up to that time, sometimes Krishna would go outside. Mother Yashoda would be busy inside the house. Sometimes Krishna would go out to play with his friends, to play with Lord Balaram, the other young boys. And for Mother Yashoda, that time that Krishna would be out of the house, even though usually it was just a matter of some minutes, but for Mother Yashoda, it seemed endless. It seemed just like time had stopped, and she would become bewildered and overwhelmed with motherly feelings for Krishna. But now, the idea was that he would go out from fairly early in the morning, like 9 o'clock perhaps, after breakfast, and only come back maybe 5 o'clock. So Mother Yashoda, she really thought, I will not be able to survive. That was the main idea. But then also she was thinking that somehow or other it appears that Krishna has been targeted by some very insidious, vicious, and very aggressive circle of demons. They just keep coming. Somehow, mysteriously, they all die. It would be one thing if Nanda Maharaj went out there and beat them to death with his stick. But he always says, no, it wasn't me. The cowardly boys that say it was Krishna. Of course we know that's ridiculous. But if he's out there on his own and some demons come, what will happen? This was another idea on the part of Mother Yashoda. And then she was also concerned as a mother. He is going to be out in the sun all day. He may get sunburned. Because people whose skin is dark, and Krishna's is almost black, blackish blue. People whose skin is dark, generally they don't have to worry about getting sunburned, even at all, or at least not so much. Although some do. Anyway, that's another thing. But Mother Yashoda was an anxiety. Maybe he'll get sunburned. Or maybe it will rain. Or sometimes surely it will rain. And he'll be out there somewhere. And how will he get shelter from the rain? And there are rocks. There are thorns. And so many things like this. Dangerous animals. Snakes. And so on. Howls. So, who will protect him? He may stub his transcendental toe and hurt his foot. And Mother Yashoda, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains, she's so concerned, her motherly affection is so developed to such a level. Her concern for Krishna's well-being is so great that, you know, just like we've seen mothers, we've all experienced with ourselves, the doting mother who comes to check your clothes, make sure everything is okay with your little child, and so on and so forth. Out of concern, motherly love. But Mother Yashoda, her level of concern was so great, she would come and check Krishna regularly. Are your clothes still on properly, or are they falling off? Or have you hurt yourself, or have you got dirty? Mother Yashoda, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, she was so concerned, she was ready to give her life 1,000 times, just if there was one speck of dust on Krishna's part. She would feel so concerned. So, Mother Yashoda was feeling like this, and therefore when Lord Krishna suggested he could take the cows out, then she was opposed. And she tried to argue in different ways, sort of diplomatically, to some degree. She didn't just say, don't go, I cannot live without you. But she presented various reasons, although that was the main reason. And she said, look, you are 3 years old. You are this big. The cows are so much bigger than you. How are you going to manage the cows? They may walk on you. They may just run away and you won't be able to stop them. So, I don't think this is a good idea. It's not a good idea. You just wait till you're bigger. And then, of course, the subtle idea is, then we'll think of another reason. You have so many duties at home now. Now you're bigger. You have to take responsibility at home. But ostensibly, this was the suggestion. Wait till you're bigger. And your father can train you back here. He can train you and you can learn and so on. When you're bigger and more able to deal with life and the situations that arise. But Krishna, he was very determined. And Nanda Maharaj was supportive, as we mentioned. So gradually, Mother Yashoda could see she was fighting a losing battle. So there was some negotiation, and it was decided Krishna and the cowherd boys would take out the calves, the baby calves. So this was the deal, this was the arrangement. And then because it was the family tradition, and it was just the whole way of life of the family, cowherding was everything to them. So they had a festival to celebrate that now Krishna is taking up the family occupation. They had a big festival. Everyone gave Krishna gifts to help him with his cowherding or calf herding. And he was given a stick. He was given a rope, he was given a buffalo horn, he was given his first flute, and he was given numerous other things which can be useful for herding the cows, or the calves. And Mother Yashoda, she also wanted to give a gift, of course. So she came with a very nice little pair of shoes. They still have them in India, that type of shoe. Very quaint type of folk item. Has pointy toe, which turns up, and it's multicolored and decorated. They used to use, in those days, they used jewels. for decoration, real jewels. Now they use little mirrors and things like this. So she gave them those shoes and said, you're going out into the forest, climbing the hills. There may be rocks and thorns and things like this. You may hurt your feet. So you take these shoes. And then she also presented one servant with an umbrella, also multicolored, very beautiful umbrella. And she told Krishna, it will be very hot. The servant can hold the umbrella over your head. Sometimes it will rain, and he can hold the umbrella for you. And like this, and he can help in different ways if you need help, because he's an adult. But Krishna said, no, I will not take these things unless you give four similar shoes for every calf and a servant with an umbrella for every calf. If you don't do this, I will not accept. And Mahishasura said, but Krishna, they're just animals. They don't wear shoes. They stay out. That is just the way they live. They just stay out all the time. You don't need to worry. You don't need to worry about them. They'll be alright. If you're a human being, your body is more delicate. They're just animals. So you take these things. Don't worry about them. You just herd them and look after them in that way. But Krishna said, no, I will not take these things. Krishna told Mahishasura, I will not take anything better than the cows. Krishna said, the cows are our life. We are only alive because of the cows. They give us their milk, and we subsist on that milk. And whatever is excess, we trade for vegetables and grains and other necessities. So we are living, we're simply living at the mercy of the cows. So how can we take anything better than the cows? They are our lives. We owe our lives to them. And Krishna said, actually, the cows are our religion. They're worshipful. They sanctify our lives. They're so auspicious, so pure. They sanctify our lives. So how can I do anything like that? We have to uphold our religion. And Krishna, as I think many of you know, he quoted a famous verse, little sutra, Dharma Rakshati Rakshatava. I think you all know a girl named Raksha, isn't it? You all know a girl named Raksha. Raksha means to protect. Dharma Rakshati. According to Sanskrit grammar. Right? Verbal endings mean, like Raksha means I protect. Rakshasi means you protect. You singular or you junior protect. And Rakshati means he, she, or it protects. This is a little Sanskrit grammar lesson for you. So Dharma Rakshati, he who protects Dharma, Rakshitaha, is protected by that Dharma. Like this, we understand definition of consciousness is a self-sufficient process. It is not that we need something else, that we need Krishna consciousness, but we also need to worship Lord Shiva. We also need to worship Durga. We also need to do trance. We also need to do Kali Puja, Harish Kings, and And we can also go to the church and pray to Jesus. Maybe go to the mosque and pray to Muhammad. Keep our faces covered. If it doesn't work out on one side, we'll go to the other side. But no, Krishna consciousness is self-sufficient. We do not need anything else. Everything is there. Everything is there to maintain us. Everything is there to develop us, materially and of course spiritually. It is complete. Natural process. All inclusive. Yes. It's not that we should worship Krishna for spiritual things, to develop love of God and so on. But in order to get food, then we should worship Durga or do something else. No. Just stick with Krishna. Dharma-rakshati. You just protect your Krishna consciousness by doing your sadhana very nicely, chanting very nicely, following the regular principles nicely, and doing your devotional service nicely, attending the programs, and so on and so forth. You protect, you uphold your standards in Krishna consciousness. They will uphold you. They will keep you up above all the material things which would otherwise drag you down. Yeah. And we see that, actually, in very, very practical terms. If we maintain our Krishna conscious standards very nicely, seriously, enthusiastically, then we become free from so many anxieties and stress and strain and other things which may affect other people who are not devotees, we may see, but they don't affect us because we're being protected by our Krishna consciousness. But we can also see that if we do not maintain our Krishna consciousness, if we become lax, we don't chant our rounds properly, we stop following all the regular principles, then we see how chaos starts entering our lives. Maybe first of all just a little bit of disturbance comes. And we think, oh, it's not so bad. I can handle a little bit of disturbance. But then we go down a little more, and that little disturbance starts becoming more serious. And then if we actually start breaking principles, more deviating more substantially, then chaos! Well, it was already chaos, but it was just the tip of the iceberg. So it may not look like real chaos. But then when you get into it, some non-devotional activities, then it manifests as full-blown chaos. And then you don't know what to think, what to do. You lose sight of the fact that the reason all these things are going wrong is because I deviated from Krishna consciousness. And you start thinking of some other ideas. Maybe so disturbed because of Christian culture's space. Yeah, because of Christian consciousness, I am restricting myself and not doing what I want to do. So naturally, I am not feeling happy. I'm not doing what I want to do. I am repressing myself. Therefore, I feel some strain and anxiety. So Maya's very expert. She catches us. And before we know, intelligence has come. And you lose sight. You lose the capacity to see what is the problem really. How did it come about? And what the solution is. But, if we actually protect the standards of religion, of Krishna consciousness, and maintain them, they will protect us, they will lift us above all the turbulence and so on of material life. And therefore, even in the midst of the greatest danger, like Prahlad Maharaj, even in the midst of the greatest crisis, even death itself, Prahlad Maharaj was totally unfazed. And completely happy, actually. Not just hanging in there and somehow handling the strain without losing control, but he was in ecstasy. Complete ecstasy. So, similarly, for any sincere devotee who is upholding the standards of Krishna consciousness. So Lord Krishna responded like this. And the result was, he did not take the shoes or the umbrella. We never see a painting of Krishna. Did you ever see Krishna out with the cowboy boys? Krishna is wearing shoes. And you never see Krishna's out herding the cows. There is the servant with the umbrella following him around this way, that way, and back and forth. You never see it, because it never happened. So this pastime happened on Govastami Day. And as fate would have it, or by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, Purnamasi, when Krishna and the cowherd boys went out with the cows for the first day, a great demon came and tried to kill Krishna. Oh yes, that is described here in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. Let us just read. These are just a few verses, maybe 4, 5, 6, describing this incident with the demon Vatsasura. This is now 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 11, the child of the pastimes of Krishna, beginning with verse 39. Kvachit vadayato venu shetanai shikata kvachit kvachit padai kinkini vi kvachit kritrima go prashai Rishaya Mano Nandanto Narakanto Yuyudate Parasana Anukritya Nataya Chantosh Chayatu Prakrito Nata. Sometimes Krishna and Balaram would play on their flutes. Sometimes they would throw ropes and stones devised for getting fruits from the trees. Sometimes they would throw only stones, and sometimes their ankle bells tinkling, they would play football with fruits like bale and olive. Sometimes they would cover themselves with blankets and imitate cows and bulls and fight with one another they enjoy sporting exactly like two ordinary human children. Kakachi, young man, Tibet, Matsos Chalai, Toz, Kai, Vyasya, Krishna, Palai, Lord, Jikam Sur, Daitya, Ayamas. One time, while Ram and Krishna, along with their playmates, were tending the calves on the bank of the river Yamuna, another demon arrived, desiring to kill them. Tanam Vatsa Rupinam Vikshya, Vatsa Yuta Gitam Abhi, Darshayam Bala Devaya, Shadar Mukta Ivasadat. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead saw that the demon had assumed the form of a calf and entered among the groups of other calves, he pointed out to Baladev, here is another demon. Then he very slowly approached the demon, as if he did not understand the demon's intentions. So Vatsa, Vatsa, it can mean any small life, any child, but it also means calf. So this context, Vatsa means calf, little calf, baby calf. And this is why it's called Vatsasura, the asura in the form of the calf. Srila Prabhupada gives a little purport. The import of the words mukta iva is that although Krishna knows everything, here he pretended that he did not understand why the demon had entered among the calves. And he informed Baladev by a sign, some special signal. Grihitva parakarakyam sahalangulam achita ramayitva kapita hari prahno yatajita sakata mahakaya pachyavanai papataka. Thereafter, Sri Krishna caught the demon by the hind legs and tail, twirled the demon's whole body very strongly until the demon was dead, and threw him into the top of a kapita tree, which then fell down along with the body of the demon, who had assumed a great form. Tadviksha vismita bhava shashamsu sadhu sadhati devascha harisantushta babubu pushta varshana. Upon seeing the dead body of the demon, all the cowherd boys exclaimed, well done, Krishna! Very good! Very good! Thank you! In the upper planetary system, all the demigods were pleased, and therefore they showered flowers on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Krishna killed Vatsasura on this day, the first day that he herded the cows, or the calves, the baby calves. Because the calves, they're referred to as baby cows, and the bulls are referred to as male cows. This is how they're normally referred to. So there you see, there is one pastime of Lord Krishna, well, two pastimes really, which occurred on this day. Then there's a third pastime This is also a very famous pastime. And I think that we will be having darshan of the deities as they present themselves in terms of this pastime at 8:30 in 15 minutes or thereabouts. Is that right? A voice came from above. So, yes, that will be very nice. So now, this pastime also happened on the Gopastami day. Gopastami. The Astami of the cowherd boys. Gopastami. So, on this day, well, first of all, because when Krishna goes out living in clouds during the day, because every day, at some point, maybe early, maybe late, maybe early and late on some days, but at different times, Krishna takes time out from the cowherding to meet with Srimati Radharani, some secret rendezvous, somewhere in the forest, somewhere on Govardhan Hill, in one of the caves, here and there, sometimes at Tir Kadamba. So because this was going on so much, it was a daily occurrence. And Krishna had to go to the cow, so he had to go out. But she would go out every day. She would make excuses for going out. Well, sometimes not excuses. She was meant to cook for Krishna. But then other times she would think of excuses. Early in the morning, then late afternoon, she has to cook for Krishna. But then other times during the day she would make excuses. I got to go and do this, got to go and do that, got to see this one, got to see that one, and so on and so forth. So she would get out somehow. But then later, Jatila, mother-in-law. What is mother-in-law in Hindi? Ladies? Huh? I can't hear what you said. Huh? Sus. Is that maternal or paternal or does it not matter? It's both, yeah. The parents of the wife or the parents of the husband? I mean mother. Is that correct? Sasi. Sasi. Okay, okay. We will accept that for the time being. In some cultures, they have a word for them. The mother-in-law who is the mother of the wife, and another word for the mother-in-law who is the mother of the husband. But in this case, Jatila is the mother-in-law who is the mother-in-law of the mother of the husband. So she is Radharani's mother-in-law, Sasi. And you know Sasis have a very bad reputation. Particularly the mother of the wife, really, has the worst reputation. But mother-in-laws in general, they are sort of regarded as a dangerous species. Always interfering, having feeling they have better ideas how to do everything. Don't do it this way, do that. He doesn't like this, he likes anyway, Krishna. So Jatila is the original Sasi. So Jathira decided, this is it, had enough, too much. Every day she goes out, every time some story comes back, she meets with Krishna. We have had enough, every time. So she told Srimati Radharani, that's it. You are not going outside the door of this palace again, ever. Full stop. That's it. Oh. Srimati Radharani was devastated. Krishna, when he heard, when Radharani did not come, when she didn't cook for him, Krishna heard. Then Krishna was devastated. Poor Krishna. What to do? So they both just lamenting too much. So Subal, Krishna's very intimate cowherd boyfriend, there's a small group of cowherd boys, her very intimate friends, and they understand the conjugal pastimes and they assist with them. They're the young, they're usually Krishna's age. They're the younger cowherd boys. They have not really understood what is a girl. Well, they have some idea what is a girl, but it's a little boy's idea that girls are stupid. What use of girls? They can't fight. They always cry. Who needs girls? We don't need girls. So when Krishna goes to join the gopis, that group of cowherd boys, they cannot understand why on earth does he leave good association like us to associate with these girls. What's wrong with him? We should talk to him. But then there is the older boys, same age as Krishna, and they understand. And they assist, not only understand, but they assist in that. They're in that mood. So Subal saw that there is not Krishna, lamenting terribly. They're herding the cows. Normally, when they herd the cows, they play games and run and shout and jump and like that. Boys will be boys. But now that Radharani was cut off like that, then Krishna, he was moping, sulking. They asked Krishna, come and play hide and seek. Krishna said, you play. I don't feel like it. Like this. So Subal understood. And he thought, you know, I have to try to do something here to get Radharani out of that house so she can meet with Krishna. So Subal told Krishna, you please wait here. I will do my best. I know it will be very difficult, so I cannot guarantee what will happen. But I will do my best to see that Srimati Radharani gets out of doubt and comes and meets you here. Krishna was very appreciative. And Subal went. And he arrived at Yavant, at the front door of the palace. And there, sitting in the front door, in the doorway, with a stick in her hand, looking very mean and evil, was Jatina. And she saw Subal, and she knows Subal. And she knows what he's like, what his interests are. So immediately she thought, this rascal, he's up to no good. So in a very confrontational way, she stopped Su Bao and said, "What do you want? What are you doing?" And Su Bao was completely nonchalant. "Everything is fine." And he said, "Well, actually, you know, one of my calves strayed away. Maybe she has come here." You know, of course, Jatira should have thought a likely story. But she didn't. She accepted it. And she said, all right, you go and have a look, but don't be long. And don't speak to Radharani." And she remained in the door. So in went Su Bao, and of course immediately went to meet with Srimati Radharani and the gopis. They were very happy to see him. They made a special strategy. Su Bao thought of it. He said, "You, Radharani, you put on my clothes, I will put on yours. And you take one of your calves and carry your calf out the door, past Jatira, and then you go and meet with Krishna. And I will stay here dressed as you, and I will just try and keep out of your way as much as I can. Keep my back turned to her." So they did that. They exchanged clothes. And Radharani picked up one calf and went out past Jatira. And Jatira saw it looks like Su Bao got the same clothes on, so it must be. But then she noticed something strange. "Doesn't," she said, "isn't that one of Radharani's calves? Don't I recognize that calf?" And Su Bao, of course, he didn't want to say anything, because he might give himself away, because he's a boy. He can't really speak with the same voice as Radharani. So, and he certainly couldn't turn and show his. Radharani couldn't speak like Su Bao. And she couldn't turn and show her face. So keeping her back turned, she just shook her head. And Jatira said, "You sure it's one of your guys?" And Jatira said, "Look, I don't know about this. It seems strange." But then she was gone. So then Srimati Radharani went out to join Krishna, but dressed as Su Bao. Krishna did not know that this was the strategy. So when he saw, here comes apparently Su Bao, you know, someone basically the same size, wearing the same clothes, who else is it going to be? So Krishna, when he saw, apparently, here comes Su Bao, Krishna felt disappointed. And then Srimati Radharani did a very interesting thing. She imitated Su Bao's voice. She wanted to test Krishna. Just as a pastime. She said, "You know, I tried my best. I couldn't do it." In apparently the voice of Su Bao. "Couldn't do it." Krishna said, "Don't worry. I knew it was going to be extremely difficult. I'm sure you tried your best. So it's okay. Don't feel bad about it." And then Radharani, in the voice of Su Bao, to test Krishna, said, "You know, if you like, I could go and get Chandravali. Chandravali is Radharani's competitor. always trying to get in and get Krishna before Radharani comes, and somehow get Krishna away from Radharani. So Radharani in Subal's voice, she said this, maybe I could get Chandravati and you could meet with her, that would be nice, wouldn't it? But Krishna said, no, no, only Radharani will do. He passed the test. You see, in Krishna consciousness, sometimes you get tested, but you must pass the test and not just make a flop of it. So anyway, Krishna passed the test, and Radharani spun around and showed the action of Srimati Radharani. And they had very beautiful pastimes together, with Radharani in the clothes of Sutta. So the darshan we will have any second now. Am I right? Very good. Are you ready? Are they ready? Are they ready? That you will have that darshan of Srimati Radharani in Govardhan, Subaladhan, the clothes of a cowherd boy, the clothes of Subal. So today's Gopastami, it is the occasion on which all these things happened. Very wonderful day. Please make the most of it. Have darshan to your heart's content. And try and do some service. Yeah, darshan. To have darshan and to get some experience through the darshan, you have to be in the service mood. If you just so today we should do service and absorb ourselves in Krishna consciousness, then we'll be able to have a very wonderful darshan of Radha Radha. Sri Sri Radha Radha Ki, Srimati Radha Radha Ki.